Thankful that he has, because I can't. I promise you, I would brag on myself about it, and I would talk about how good I am and how that I've accomplished something. That's not what it's about. It's all about him, about what that he's done for us, and I sure do thank him for it. Get my family to stand. I think everybody pretty well knows them, but introduce them to you one more time. My wife, Tracy, Alex, Isaiah, Elijah, and Maddie. Thank the Lord for them, for the privilege to be able to travel together and serve the Lord together. Thank you so much to Fellowship Baptist Church for your faithful support over the last few months. We was here back in August, of course, in missions conference with you, and y'all were kind enough to take us on, and we've been able to count on your support. You're a faithful supporter. We do thank you so much for it. We're about 19-20% of our support right now, and we thank the Lord for it, for providing for us. I was telling the pastor a couple of days ago when I was talking to him, there was somebody made a comment to me, a veteran missionary, been on the field for some time, and I can't remember who that it was that I was talking to, but he said, you know, we're missionaries to wherever. For us, it's Idaho, and he said, but I remember when we were on deputation, we had two ministries. We had the ministry of deputation, of raising support, and then we were missionaries to mechanics and barbers and different, just about everybody that you can imagine that you got to go and spend money. And we've kind of been experiencing that lately. We were rear-ended down in Tennessee back in January, and it totaled the Suburban, so we had to get a different vehicle there. And then my truck's been in the shop a couple of times over the last couple of months or so. I had to have basically the whole top of the engine redone. The valves had went bad. I was losing oil. Valves had went bad. I had to replace all the valves, all the fuel injectors, all at one time. It's back in the shop now. The clutch went out on it. So before long, I'm going to have a new truck, but I'm just going to pay for it a little bit at a time. Instead of going to the dealership and buying it, I'm going to have a brand new 2005 Dodge Ram 2500, 2022-2023 edition. But God has provided. We've seen him provide. We do have a trip coming up that we would love for you to pray for us about. We're going to be down in South Carolina and in the Carolina area, mostly in meetings for about the next 4 weeks after this, 4 to 5 weeks after this. And then we will leave from South Carolina, and we will travel across the country to Utah, to Logan, Utah. We'll be there in a missions conference there in Utah, and then we will spend the month of June and about a week of July, we will spend those days in the state of Idaho, mostly in the northern part of Idaho, seeing the northern part, looking at some areas there that are in desperate need of churches. There's an area that we're really wanting to go see, Sandpoint area. Sandpoint is probably about 20,000-25,000 people just in the general area. Sandpoint's got about 12,000 people in town, and then in the general area, about another probably 20,000-25,000 people altogether there. And they do not have a good Bible preaching Baptist church within right around an hour drive of them. So we want to see that area, and there's a lot of other areas there that we want to see. Been talking to some men up there, and I asked one of them the other day. I said, brother, if you was going to start a church in Idaho, where would you start it? And I was expecting, you know, one or two places, what most guys give me. And he just started reeling off just off the cuff, probably about 20 or 30 different towns, some of them with 10, 15, 20,000 people, some of them with 500 and 600 people. But either way, it doesn't matter how many people's there. They need the gospel in a desperate way. And that's, of course, what God has called us to do and what y'all are a part of. And we do thank you so much once again. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to come by to present an update to the church and to be able to be with you in service tonight. Enjoyed the two messages thus far. Thank y'all so much for the preaching. It's been an encouragement to me to hear the preaching of the Word of God this evening. And I was thinking, I believe the pastor must have went and read where Jesus performed his first miracle, and the governor of the feast said that you're supposed to save the worst for the end, and that's exactly what he's done. But we do pray that we can be a blessing to you. My son asked me, he said, Dad, would you rather go last or first or in the middle? I said, to be honest, I'd rather go in the middle. And this is no reference to you at all, brother. I told him this before you ever got up to preach. I said, if the first guy bombs, nobody's going to remember it because there's two after him. If the one in the middle messes up, then he's still got one to go after him as well. But if you're the last one and you mess up, that's what everybody is going to remember. So if I mess up, everybody's going to remember it. Nobody's going to remember anything they said, done, good, bad, or indifferent. But everybody will remember if I do mess up tonight. But we're praying that the Lord will help us and that he'll use us to be a help to you. Ask you, if you would, to stand with us as we read the Word of God. To be in your Bibles, by the way, to the book of 1 John chapter 5, familiar passage of Scripture. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, it's right before 2 John. First John chapter 5 and verse number 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege that's ours to stand once again and preach this evening. God, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. Anoint me with fresh oil. God, I must have you if anything of eternal value is to be said or done this evening. God, would you please touch me and make me a vessel meet for the Master's use. Pray that you'd touch someone that may be here lost. Convict them of their sin. Give them the opportunity to be saved. The gospel's already gone out. God, I pray that you would apply it to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls and draw them to you. God, I pray that you would help us all to leave here different than we came, more in love with you, a closer walk with you than what we've ever had before. God, I pray that you'd touch, that you'd help me, thy servant, to preach with power from on high. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to preach for just a few minutes tonight with the help of the Lord on this subject. I am on the winning side. I am on the winning side. The Bible tells us here, in 1 John chapter 5, that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We cannot help but win as long as we are on the Lord's side. I remember in high school, I played basketball, and I would play, and I wasn't by any means the best on the team. I was typically six men on the bench, so that means that the first guy to go in, that was me. I was the guy off the bench first, usually in the game, so I never was really a starter, but I enjoyed playing, and I enjoyed competing. The team that I was on, we were a good team. We won the state championship 5 years in a row. The last year that we competed really in JV with the team, we won the state championship that year, and then all 4 years of high school, we won the state championship. So I got used to winning. I like to be on the winning side. It's something that I enjoy. One thing that I hate to do is I hate to lose. I'll cheat to win if I have to. Just try to make sure that nobody sees it so it looks like I'm a fair player. But as long as I win, I really don't care how I do it. Not really, but at the same time, really. I used to tell them when I was a corrections officer, I was a corrections officer for 3 years, and they'd come up and they'd have something to say like, Blue, don't you realize you've got like 40 officers here, and there's like 1,600 inmates here. Do you not realize that we've got you outnumbered? I'd say, look, I don't really care what I have to do to win. There's some things I don't like to do. I don't like to lay on the ground. I'm getting too old for that. I don't like to bleed. I've never been young enough to like to bleed. So I don't like to do those things. And you know how to tell who fights fair? The guy that's laying on the ground bleeding. He's the one that fights fair. So I'm going to do anything I can. I'm going to kick. I'm going to scratch. I'm going to take a pin and shove it in you. I'm going to gouge your eyeballs. I'm going to do something because I want to win. They'd say, man, that's just wrong. I'd say, yeah, but at least I win. I am on the winning side tonight. Now, I've only got one thought for this one point, and it's that I am on the winning side of the good fight. The Bible tells us in Timothy that we are to fight the good fight of faith.
The Bible tells us there that we're to take and that there is a fight that we're in. When you signed up for the Christian life, which means when you got saved, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, make no doubt about it, you signed up for a fight. Now, the brother made reference a while ago, you made reference to the UFC and different things there, and I like watching a good fight. I said I like watching a good fight. I don't like watching two guys that they just kind of run around the ring and they just kind of put on a little bit of a miniature marathon as they run around the ring. I have no interest in that. Brother David, if I'm going to watch a fight, I want to watch two guys that stand up and do their very best. I'm just going to be blunt, to knock each other's head off and knock their teeth down their throat. That's what I want to watch. And in the Christian life, you might as well face it. Our opponent, that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to just have us stand there. He wants to draw back and he wants to let us have it, knock our teeth down our throat, knock our head off, kill us, get us out of the way. We're in a fight, not for our physical life. Brother Greg, we are in a fight for our spiritual life. For the spiritual life of our children, for the spiritual life of our grandchildren, for the spiritual life of our church. Ladies and gentlemen, you as members of Fellowship Baptist Church, you are in a spiritual fight for the life of your pastor. Satan would love to destroy this church, and he would love to start with the pastor of the church. If he can't get the pastor, he would love to start with you. He would love to start with your family. He would love to start anywhere he can, really, and completely destroy you and destroy this church. We are in a fight. Back in the days of the great Roman Empire, there was a lot of fighting that would go on then, of course, and as you would come in, as they would come into the arena, there were groups of men that were more loved than others. There was one group of men, in fact, that they were hand chosen by the emperor himself. As these men would come into the arena, they would have a chant that they would begin to sing as they came into the arena. It went something like this: "We are 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Emperor, to win for thee the victory and for thee the victor's crown. We are 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Emperor, to win for thee the victory and from thee the victor's crown." And they would come in chanting that song, chanting that chant. The crowd would stand and they would applaud, and the crowd would stand and they would go wild and they would throw gifts upon them. And then the men, they would come into the arena. They would win just about every fight that they were in. They would go out on the battlefield as part of the Roman army, and they would fight the Roman army, conquering the entire known world of that day. And as those men fought, they were the very best of the best. They were the special forces. They were the guys that went in, and they could do things that nobody else could do. And the whole Roman Empire, they loved them. They exalted them. Their families were well off because of the gifts. They were well off because of the gifts. They had freedoms that nobody else really had because they were so great. Their leader, Vespasian, was very proud of them. He was held in high esteem by the Roman Empire because of the men that he commanded. One day a decree came down from the emperor. The decree was this: that anyone who names the name of Christ in the Roman army is to be slain. So Vespasian, he thought, surely I don't have anything to worry about. I'll just get this taken care of real quick. So he brings the men out. He says, "Men, this is the decree that's come down from the emperor. I don't think we have anything to worry about. But I've got a question. Is there anyone here who would name the name of Christ?" These 40 men in particular that were in that army as one man, those 40 men take two steps forward, salute, come to attention, and await the fate that is to come upon them. Vespasian says, "Wait a minute, man, hang on. You don't understand. Think about what this means. Think what it means for your family. Think what it means for Rome. Think what it means for the empire. Think what it means for I, Vespasian, your leader. Think of what it means for the men that you have fought beside for all these years. Step back and we'll forget all about it." But none of them move. He says, "I'll tell you what we'll do." It was in the middle of winter. They were out upon a great frozen lake. They were there on the lake shore, and as they were there, he told them. He said, "Men, you see the lake that we're on?" He said, "We're gonna gather back here around the shores of the lake this evening at dark, and we're gonna go back through this and just think about all those things up until that point." So for several hours, Vespasian wonders and he worries what's going to happen. So eventually the darkness begins to fall and dust comes, and they gather up on the side of the lake there. And he says, "Now men, you remember what happened? But men, as long as nobody steps forward, nobody here is going to say anything about it. Nobody will ever know what happened here on the side of the lake. It's just us. Nobody will say anything. Is there anyone here who would name the name of Christ?" As one man, without hesitation, they take two steps forward, come to attention after a salute, and they wait their fate once again. Vespasian says, "Men, I don't know what else to do. I've given you every chance that I can. I've went further than what my orders even allowed me to go. But I will not have your blood upon the hands of the men who you have fought beside. You're going to be sent out upon the lake, and you're going to be forced to march out upon the lake naked, and you're not going to have any kind of warmth at all, and you're going to be left to the mercies of nature, and we're just going to let you perish by nature's hand. But I, Vespasian, your leader, will be standing here by the largest campfire, and there's other campfires along the lake shore. And if you come back to one of them, we'll forget about it, and it'll be like that you never left." 40 men go out on the ice, and there's a familiar chant begins to come up. But it sounds just a little bit different. There's something changed about it. Instead of "we are 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O emperor," it is now, as they march out upon the ice, 40 men in one voice: "We are 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win for thee the victory and for thee the victor's crown." Through the very early hours of the night, the chant comes off the ice very strong. And as the night begins to wear on, and it gets colder and it gets darker, and in the wee hours of the morning, the chant is barely audible. Not because they've marched far out upon the ice. They're still just really at the edge of the firelight. But what's happened is the cold has begun to work upon their body. They're beginning to shut down, and they're beginning to get weak, and they're beginning to get tired. And finally, when that you can barely hear nothing at all, there's one man begins to come crawling into the firelight. Vespasian thinks, "I've got them. I've broken one, and now that I've broken one, surely the rest will follow." But then all of a sudden, from out of the darkness, the chant begins to get a little louder, and it gets louder, and it gets louder, and then now all of a sudden, it's if anything, it's stronger than it was when they first marched upon the ice, but it's changed once again. "We are 39 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win for thee the victory and for thee the victor's crown." Vespasian looks at the man that's crawling back to the fire. He looks at the fire. He looks out on the ice, and he keeps looking back and forth between them, and he realizes that just because that one has fallen, that just because one has given up, just because that one of their comrades, one of the men who they have fought beside, has fell by the wayside, that these other men are not willing to stop the good fight of faith. Now off comes his helmet and hits the ground. Off comes his armor. His sword hits the ground. He strips himself of his clothing, runs upon the ice, shouting at the top of his lungs, "We are 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win for thee the victory and for thee the victor's crown." Vespasian that day realized something that those 39 men remembered, that there is a fight greater than anything that this earth ever has to offer, that no matter what kind of fight that you have on this earth, that no matter how hard it gets, no matter how long the battle gets, no matter if you see friends fall by the wayside, no matter if you see heroes fall by the wayside, no matter if you see people who you have fought arm in arm with over the years fall by the wayside, the enemy is going to attack through your family. He's going to attack through your friends. He's going to attack through your mind. But there is a good fight. And David said, "Is there not a cause that we fight?" No matter what comes, no matter how hard the battle gets, no matter how long the battle gets, no matter what happens, church, fight the good fight of faith.